Well, good morning. My name's Jerry Gillespie. If you don't know me, I'm the executive pastor here, and everyone else is on vacation. So guess what that means? I don't have anywhere to go but here, no, which is great. So welcome to our time of worship today. We are at the end of our series called Who is This Man? We've been taking a look over the last few weeks at not only who Jesus is, but the impact that he has had and will continue to have in our world. No other human being has had that kind of an impact. Maybe that's because he's God. I wonder. But anyway, you know, as we think about this, we're going to be focusing on the 3 days that changed the world. And there are many events that happen in history that have a deep impact in our lives. I remember in talking to my grandparents that they remember Pearl Harbor as if it were yesterday. I mean, they're gone now, but when I had conversations with them, they remember things like what they were doing when they found out where they were. They could tell you all of that because it had such an impact in their life. For some of you, you remember the day that JFK was assassinated. And you can record the events as if it just happened yesterday. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination as well is one of those things in near recent history. For me, the first thing I can remember that happened that sort of one of those events burned into my mind was when the Challenger, Space Shuttle Challenger exploded back in 1986. I was in seventh grade science class. The principal, you remember this, don't you, Brad? The principal came over the loudspeaker and told us what had happened. And it's just one of those things I always remember for some reason. And of course, almost all of us will have the image and the memory of the event of 9/11 just burned into our minds. These are events that happened in history, and they certainly have had an impact in our world today. But as time goes on, the impact that all of these events we've been talking about, the impact that they will have, will eventually fade, and they'll become just one more thing in a history book that someone may or may not read down the road. But even though we can say that they're definitely big, life-changing events, for me anyway, like the Challenger and 9/11, they haven't necessarily changed me. They haven't changed how I think or how I act or how I behave in my world. But there was an event over a period of 3 days that has. That being Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the day of Jesus' death and then his resurrection. Those not only are events that have happened in our history, they're events that have changed history. So much so that someone back in time decided we're going to even shape our calendar around these events. These are the pivotal events of history. And so we're going to have before Christ and after his death. Of course, we know Friday. Friday was the day that Jesus died. Friday was the day that Jesus was crucified on the cross. What's the big deal? Lots of people have died. Lots of people have died for good reasons. Lots of people have given their life for others. What is so significant about Jesus' death? You know, usually when someone dies, their story ends. Sure, you can remember it and you can tell the story about how this person died or what their life was like before. But their death itself doesn't seem to have any significance in our world or how we live. Abraham, for example, a man of great faith. We talk about him as part of our Christian heritage. But his death, even though it's recorded in the scriptures, there's nothing significant about it. It's not as if his death has any real meaning for us. Same with Moses. Moses, the man that God gave the law to us through. God's instructions for how to live life. His death just sort of is just one small event through in the pages of Scripture. David, same with David. David was this great king. He did mighty things for God, and yet when he died, he died. And the Apostle Paul, we're not even sure exactly how he died or when. It didn't get recorded down. But Jesus, when Jesus talked about his death, he talked about his death as somehow being the climax of his life. That somehow everything he was doing, everything that he was saying, was pointing to the day when he would die. And he didn't do it as an attention ploy. He wasn't codependent and needing somebody to prop him up, so he talked about, yeah, I'm going to die one of these days. He didn't do it as a martyr for a cause. But somehow, in the way he spoke, the things he did, he pointed to the fact that through his death, something even greater than his life would happen. And he said things like that the kingdom of God would be built through his death. And then as he taught, he said things like this that we read in John 12. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." It's cryptic, it's mysterious. For the disciples, they didn't even know what he was talking about. But somehow through Jesus' death, he was defeating God's great enemy and ours, sin and death. Somehow through Jesus' death, all of the evil of human history came rushing onto him at that moment. From the shrieks of all the demons as he casts them out of people, saying that Satan's kingdom was being destroyed, to the accusations of all the religious leaders who were accusing him, the Son of God, of committing crimes against God. And as the political leaders of the day were accusing Jesus, the most peaceful man on earth, of leading a rebellion against their power, all the forces of evil and his friends' betrayal, our sin, your sin, all of that came crashing down onto Jesus in that one single moment when he was on the cross. All those forces of evil thought they were winning the battle, that they were gaining the victory by bringing him down. And in reality, he was taking sin and evil down with him. The only difference was, come Sunday, he was the only one being resurrected. And so, centuries before, the prophet Isaiah says, referring to Jesus, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what does it mean? What does Friday mean, this great day in history? Apostle Paul sums it up better than I can. He said, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. What does Friday mean? Friday means that sin, evil, and death, everything that stands against God, is defeated. Friday means that sin, evil, and death, everything that comes against you, is defeated. Friday means you get a clean slate and a fresh start. In the words of the Apostle Paul, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the Spirit of life is victorious over the spirit of sin and death." You don't get condemned because Jesus has been condemned for you. Then we move to Saturday. The scriptures are mysteriously silent about Saturday. It was the Sabbath day. It was the day that the Jewish people would have gone to the temple to worship their God. Ironic, isn't it? They're worshiping God the day after they crucified his son. But the fact that the scriptures are silent on Saturday, does that mean nothing happened on that day? No, plenty happened. The religious leaders, in their pride, they thought, "Our rival is dead. Our power is confirmed." The Roman government, the political leaders, in their arrogance, likewise thought, "One more would-be rebel's done. Our power is established over all these people." The disciples, confused, sad, afraid, full of shame and guilt, anger. What just happened? We placed all of our hope in this man, Jesus. He was going to be the king that was going to deliver us from all of our enemies. And now he's gone. Everyone else, they too had thought Jesus was going to be their coming king. They too had placed their hope in him, that he somehow was going to rescue them from the oppression of the Romans. Now he's gone. There's been other would-be messiahs before. There will be more come down the road again. We got duped again. So back to our broken, oppressed, tormented, hurting, despairing lives. You see, on Friday, Jesus had defeated evil. Jesus had won the victory over sin, and the chains of sin and death were broken once and for all. But no one knew. Not on Saturday. No one's life was changed on Saturday. The only day in human history that Jesus' death hasn't had any significance for anyone. Because no one knew what he had just done for them. You know, we live in a Saturday kind of world. Broken, hurting, lives of hopelessness and despair. It's everywhere around us. And if there is happiness in people's lives, it's a fleeting thing. It comes and it goes. Oftentimes there's no real joy. It's a Saturday kind of world. Broken and waiting for rescue. But thank God things didn't end with Saturday. Because Sunday came around the corner. Suddenly, Jesus was alive. Everything had changed. All the rules were now broken. All the things that everyone thought they knew about how life was suddenly turned upside down. A dead man was alive again. And not just any man, but the Son of God, the one who said he was taking and breaking the chains of sin with his life and his death. That man was now alive. Jesus had been vindicated by God. He was right after all. And so everything that he said and did now suddenly began to make sense. He was the Messiah. He was the King, the world's true and only Lord. Not by kicking out the Romans, but by giving up his life. Resurrection was happening. New creation for the earth had begun in this one man. And sin and death had not only experienced a permanent defeat, but everything that was broken and ruined by that sin and death was now beginning to be restored. Jesus' words that we read in John 12 now had new meaning for the disciples. Listen to it again. He says, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." All of a sudden, they get it. Jesus was the seed who died. He was the single kernel of wheat that fell to the ground and gave up its life, not just so it could die, but so that new life, a whole crop, could result from it. The disciples began to see that they were these seeds. They were the ones that had been given the new life. But more than that, God was giving them his Spirit to continue the Jesus' very life and ministry through them. One seed was now a multitude of seeds. And if those seeds continued to give their lives in serving others, then there'd be more and more seeds, and on it would go. And the kingdom of God would grow in the world. So what does Sunday mean? Sunday means we live in a world that's no longer ruled by sin and death, but by God's victory. There are still traces of that sin and death everywhere we look. It's kind of as at the end of World War II, as soon as the Allies landed on the beaches of Normandy, the Germans knew the war was over, but they fought it out to the last man. Sin and evil are defeated, but they're not going to give up easily. What does Sunday mean? New creation, new life, transformation are happening now. The awesome thing about being a part of the kingdom of God is we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to begin experiencing it. God's bringing it through our lives. The new heaven and the new earth God promised is beginning to take shape. The prayer that he taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is coming to be. What does Sunday mean? Got a little ahead of myself. We have work to do. You see, we have Jesus' Spirit living in us. God's power, and it's not a spirit that tells us to sit on our couch and wait for the day that Jesus returns to take us home. It's a spirit that says we have an assignment, that we are now God's life-changing agents in his world. The transformation that we want God to bring, we get to be part of the means through which he will bring it. Where we go, what we do, what we say, we take Jesus in his ministry with us. We live in a Saturday kind of world, though. Friday has happened. Jesus has paid the price for sin. It's done. As he said, his last words on the cross, it is finished. There's nothing more that needs to be done by anyone or anything to defeat sin. The deal has been signed. But we live in a Saturday kind of world. Over and large, the world doesn't know yet what Jesus has done for it. The world's just trying to eck out an existence, to just get by day to day, just hoping something great will happen to them tomorrow to make their lives better. But we are a Sunday people. The resurrection has happened. Resurrection is happening. And we are agents of God's restoration and hope. And so we show our hurting, broken world that it has a creator. It has a savior who loves it desperately. And so we do things as Jesus' followers, like pack a shoebox full of simple gifts and send them to somewhere around the world to a child we will never know, simply for the reason that we want to show that child that God loves them and give them a message that Jesus died for them. We do things as his followers, like go to Belize and build beds to give kids a nice place to sleep on, to show them they have a God who loves them. We go to Liberia to dig wells and to give them equipment that they can purify their water, to show them that God cares about them deeply. We go into our schools through things like Kids Hope to show, even if it's one child, that there's someone out there who loves them and his name is Jesus. And we go into our homes and our workplaces and our schools and our places of recreation, and we carry this message of Jesus in the words we say and the things we do, and we say, hey, look, Sunday's happened. You're living in Saturday, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to anymore. And how do we do it? How do we take Sunday into a Saturday world? By living out a Friday kind of lifestyle. You see in that passage that we are looking at that Jesus taught his disciples, we go from being the harvest, we go from being the ones who get the new life to becoming the one who serves. We become the kernel of wheat that falls on the ground and dies. Does that mean we have to give up our physical life? Not necessarily, but it does mean we have to die to ourselves. If you know anything about seed, if a seed just lays in the ground for too long and doesn't germinate, it'll just rot and decay and it will be no more. But that's not who we are. We get to continue the work, the ministry, and the message of Jesus. And there is no other way to follow Jesus than to do the kinds of things he did. And we get to invite that Saturday world to come live with us on Sunday. We get to show them what it's about and tell them what Jesus has done and say, hey, Sunday's happened. Take hold of it and let it live in you. 3 days that have changed the world. 3 days that will continue to change the world. And the cool thing is it gets to happen through you.